Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
This is where you go when you want the top stories every day. The 4 o'clock reset. Everything we've been talking about all in one segment right here on the Burns and Gambo show. And we start with, obviously, the big national news. Antonio Brown, 11 days spent with the New England Patriots. He was released by the New England Patriots today, likely for a variety of reasons, things that led up to this moment. The fact that he was due half of his guaranteed money on Monday, five of the $9 million. The painful Bill Belichick press conference today, which he literally walked out of because he was tired of answering questions about Brown. The text messages that Sports Illustrated was out in front of reporting over the last couple of days. He actually texted one of his sexual assault accusers and included some of his friends in a group text message with her.
That could be seen as threatening towards her.
Yep.
Because he included pictures of her kids in there.
And the fact the Patriots might have gotten the sense that he was about to get put on the exempt list.
And then they would have to pay him.
And they would have had to pay him. Not play him. He couldn't have practiced, but they would have had to pay him. Add it all up, and after 11 days, Antonio Brown's out on the street.
That was a really brief time in New England, marred by the rape and the sexual assault allegations. The NFL launched the investigation into those accusations. Then additional details come out surrounding his past behavior, including a second accusation, and then all put together, I think the Patriots just said, you know what? This is not for us.
Yeah.
This is not for us. Get him out of here.
Adam Schefter today on ESPN, he doesn't see any team in Antonio Brown's future.
I think it's fair to wonder who at this point would give Antonio Brown a chance next. When the New England Patriots say goodbye to you, that's a kiss of death on a lot of people, I think. And if they're saying goodbye, that's going to scare a lot of teams off. I don't see any team in his future.
Totally agree. I do not believe that Antonio Brown will play for an NFL team this year.
Yeah.
While all this stuff is going on, too toxic, too much of a risk for any team, I think he's going to have to wait until next year, and then we'll see if somebody wants to take a shot at Antonio Brown.
The news out of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Ketel Marte has been shut down for the season. Here's Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona host, who was on with us earlier today.
The good news is, according to Mike Hazen, he's not going to need surgery, and it's a stress reaction. He should be ready to go by spring with rest and things like that. At least that's what they know right now. So, I mean, in some ways, it's good news.
329 batting average, 32 home runs. He had the third best wins above replacement in the National League among positional players.
Yeah, I saw Nick Pecoro's tweet that he won't need surgery, should recover with rest, be ready for spring training from what Mike Hazen said. So what a great season for Ketel Marte. But you got to err on the side of caution here. Shut him down. Don't give him any more games. He will probably not end up as the National League hits leader, right? He was leading by seven going into yesterday.
Correct.
Ozzie Albies was right behind him.
Correct.
He'll probably get passed. I know that was a little important to him, but not worth his health.
ASU trying to avoid a trap game tomorrow night against the Colorado Buffaloes. Our good friend John Wilner, Pac-12 insider with the San Jose Mercury News, was on Bickley and Murata today, and he said now is the time for ASU to take over the Pac-12 South.
The landscape is very favorable right now because the LA schools are kind of in disarray, right? So if you're ASU or even Arizona or Colorado, now is the time because at some point UCLA and especially USC is going to get it figured out, and then things get a lot more difficult.
ASU goes into that game about a touchdown favorite over the Buffaloes at home.
You know, Colorado, the big win over Nebraska, then they had the letdown against Air Force. They were very humbled in that game against Air Force. Now, you know, they go play Arizona State. Now, since the Buffaloes joined the Pac-12 back in 2011, Colorado's only 17-54 against conference opponents. 17-54 since they joined this conference. They have not had a lot of success.
Cliff Kingsbury today, head coach of the Cardinals, a little cryptic about who's going to be his starting right tackle on Sunday.
Still kind of working through it, but both guys had really good weeks of practice, and I wouldn't be surprised if both of them played at some point.
Will it be Murray? Will it be Mills? It's a wait and see.
I think they're going to want to take a look at Mills. I think they're going to want to take a look and see what Mills, all that experience he's got. Murray had a tough game last week. I still think Murray's valuable as far as being a swing tackle for them. But I think they want to take a look at Mills. But probably both will play, like Cliff said.
But our top story of the day, and frankly on a day like today, we've got a bunch of them. Our Antonio Brown getting cut is one. Cam Newton not playing against the Cardinals is 1A. The final injury report was released today, and Carolina has officially listed Cam Newton as out for the game. Kyle Allen will be the starting quarterback. The Valley native, the Scottsdale native, gets his second start of his NFL career. Started last year in Week 17 against the Saints team on the road that was resting most of their key players for their playoff run. This is, no matter how you try to dress it up, the preferable outcome for the Arizona Cardinals in terms of the quarterback they're facing. I can't think of any other way to view this story.
No, I mean, listen, Cam's not playing well. He's lost, his last eight games in a row, but he's a veteran quarterback that's had a lot of success in this league at times. So to take a kid who's got one road game under his belt, and that came against the B team of the New Orleans Saints when they were sitting all their starters, this is the preferred destination. But if I'm Kyle Allen, I'm looking at this as a great opportunity. I mean, who knows what the future is for Cam Newton? I mean, who knows with injuries, with his contract status, they may not want Cam Newton back. So he's got an opportunity here to prove himself to the brass in Carolina that he deserves to be their starting quarterback. He's there. They didn't bring anybody else in. He doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's the guy right now. And if he plays well while Cam's out, he may show them something where he might be the guy of the future.
Now, there is history that works against the Arizona Cardinals here. We saw it against Pittsburgh a few years ago when Big Ben was out. They started Michael Vick and Landry Jones, and they won. Obviously, the big Sunday night debut a few years ago Tom Brady was out and Jimmy Garoppolo. But I know that's history, and I know that matters to us in the media and fans who are fans of the
different
Cardinals.
It's a
different team, a different roster. There can't be but a dozen or so guys who are even on the roster who even have memories of maybe overlooking Landry Jones or Jimmy Garoppolo. So I don't think that history, that's for people like us and for fans who remember things like that. I don't think of the guys in the locker room, they're not thinking about Landry Jones when they play the Panthers this weekend.
Cardinals are thinking about getting their first win. They played two games, they've been competitive, they want to win, right? They want to get that win. They want to get that feeling of what it's like to win. Carolina's 0-2. They're desperate. Okay, even without their starting quarterback, you got a desperate team. 0-2 teams, we know what the chances are of them making the playoffs. 0-3 gets even worse. So that's a desperate football team. They had some high expectations for themselves this year. Didn't go that way. It was interesting, listening to Rivera this morning. He was on a conference call. I heard the sound. He said he's actually coming along well, talking about Cam. He said the unfortunate part was last week he was playing on a short week and the foot didn't have time to come back, as far as I understand it. It was pretty sore. It was just one of those things we'll have to wait and see. So he's kind of like a little bit taking a knock on that short week, because that short week did not give Cam Newton the extra time, those three extra days to get the foot right. So a little bit of blame on that Thursday night football game against Tampa Bay.
It looks like the line has moved a little, but not as much as I would have thought. Just for if that's your jam, I'm just letting you know right now, it opened up as Carolina with I'm looking at it completely wrong. I'm looking at it upside down.
Yeah, it flipped.
It flipped. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at the numbers backwards.
It totally flipped.
Carolina was a 3-point favorite. Now Arizona is a 2-point favorite. So, yes, it has very much flipped. The Cardinals are now a favorite. I think this game went from being, even before we knew about Cam Newton, I liked Arizona to win this game. Now they are looked at least Vegas-wise, as the favorite in this game because Cam Newton's out.
I heard Bickley and Murata talking about this. With all the quarterbacks that they were supposed to play that are not, they're not going to play now, I mean, what if this team wins 7, 8, 9 games? You know, is it possible?
Because
they
don't play Eli.
No Ben Roethlisberger, no Eli, no Drew Brees, no Cam Newton. I mean, a lot of these quarterbacks, they're going to be playing a lot of quarterbacks that are on probably a similar, style of a Kyler Murray, a younger guy who's just getting an opportunity to play.
Get lower-level tickets for only $9.87. Come watch the D-backs take on Paul Goldschmidt and the St. Louis Cardinals next week.
Ouch.
It's the Arizona Sports Half Day Club. We'll be broadcasting live at the Four Peaks Draft Room at Chase Field. Text the word HALF to 62620. We'll send you a link to purchase tickets. Again, text HALF to 620-620. There's no denying the talent, but with all that baggage, I think the question about Antonio Brown simply is that it? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
And I can't really say, because we've seen time and again, people always become enamored with and become drawn to and attracted to the transcendent football talent and football ability and what he can do for your football team. And see, And transcend is something that we've become too loose, that's become a phrase we've become too loose with and used too much. But in Antonio's case, it truly is. He is a one-of-a-kind type of player. And people will make all kinds of allowances for that type of talent. And I don't know if you've seen the last of it.
Lewis Riddick on ESPN. I'm not sure Antonio Brown is done in the National Football League because he is a truly transcendent talent. By now, if you're just getting in your car and you haven't heard the news yet, or you want it, here's the news. Antonio Brown got cut by the New England Patriots today. And you and I both agree he will not play for an NFL team this year. I would be shocked beyond all words if he played for somebody
this year. Yeah, not with all this stuff hanging over his head. If you're a team, you just don't know. And you can't, you know, you got lawsuits and you've got these messages and the NFL may suspend him. We just don't know. Yeah, nobody's going to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. I'd be shocked if somebody decided to take Antonio Brown at all this year.
Now,
next year,
next year, different story.
Yeah. Next year's a different story. You just, you know, you don't know. I mean, He is a great football player, right? He had a touchdown, four or five catches in his first game with the Patriots and a touchdown. He is a great player. But, man, there are guys that are just not worth the headache. Like, there are guys that's like, he's not worth the headache. It's just not worth it. He's good. It's not like, okay, remember when Ray Rice, Ray Rice's last year with the Baltimore Ravens, he wasn't very good. Like, he wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ray Rice had the incident and obviously got suspended from the National Football League and then, the part of it was he wasn't very good. Colin Kaepernick, part of it is he wasn't very good. Like with Antonio Brown, you can't really say that. You can't be like, oh, he's not very good. You can make that argument if you want about Ray Rice. You can make it about Colin Kaepernick. There are other players. He's just not that good. He's not worth it. But Antonio Brown, there is no argument. He's great.
Yeah.
Like, he's great. But is he worth the headache? And I think for most teams in the league, the answer is no. But it just takes that one team that says, I want that guy.
Yeah.
And then he could be signed by somebody.
There's actually betting odds right now, and the odds reflect exactly what we're talking about. The betting odds will say that he's not going to be on a team this year. The betting odds say he will, in fact, be on a team next year. If you want to wager it, that's kind of how the odds play out. The Patriots released a very simple statement in doing this today. It came down about 1:20, 1:30 this afternoon. It wrote, "The New England Patriots are releasing Antonio Brown. We appreciate the hard work of many people over the past 11 days, but we feel it is best to move in a different direction at this time."
That's a crazy press release.
Not, "We appreciate the hard work. We thank Antonio Brown for his time." No.
He thanked them.
Yeah.
Oh. He thanked them.
Mm-hmm.
Go win it or something. Like, he had a tweet where he kind of like, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Trying to be professional. But the Patriots, yeah, no mention of Antonio Brown at all.
No. There's been look, the way we see it, the best we can see it, there's a multitude of reasons kind of why now, okay, why this happened after 11 days. And as far as we're concerned, and I don't want to talk for you here, but it looks like it comes down to one of four things, some combination of these four things. Number one, the $9 million guaranteed he got from the New England Patriots. The first installment was due in 3 days. $5 million of that $9 million was due on September 23rd. Cut him now before you have to give it to him.
Didn't the Raiders do the same thing? Release him right before, like money was guaranteed?
5 days before he was due a big paycheck, right?
Man, this guy's going to bed every night dreaming like, I'm just 2 days away from all this money, and then getting cut out from under him. Like, the Raiders did it to him, and now the Patriots did it to him.
I mean,
and I'm sure a guy like Antonio Brown has probably spent half this money already, or if not more than it.
Cut out from under him makes it sound like he didn't have a role in this.
No, but I'm saying, like, yeah. he probably went to bed at night thinking, man, in 2 days, I'm going to see all this money in my...
I'm getting a check for $5 million.
Do nothing stupid in the next 48 hours.
You don't think a guy like that has some of that money spent?
Oh, for sure.
Got $5 million coming in a bank. After taxes, I got $3.5 million. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah,
sure.
That money's spent.
Reason number two is maybe the Patriots got wind he was going to get put on the exempt list.
And then they would have had to pay him.
Yes. He couldn't have practiced. He couldn't have played. But maybe they were worried that he was going to get put on the exempt list. Reason number three, and this is Adam Schefter on the Will Cain show today, said the straw that might have broke the Patriots' backs was the painfully awkward Bill Belichick press conference today that he walked out on.
There were people that I don't think were thrilled to have him in the organization to begin with. And then when you get there, and there are more and more revelations and more things that come out, and he goes live from TV 12 and starts talking about the devil And then you see the Sports Illustrated article on Monday and then last night that reveal more alleged harassment. Also, I was wondering today when Bill Belichick got to that press conference and they asked him five Antonio Brown questions and that was it and he walked off. There's a part of me that's thinking, you got this 2-0 team, this great team, all is right there, and your season is going to have this to deal with. Do they want to do that? Do they have to do that? No.
Because here's the thing, if you're the Patriots, your Super Bowl odds, you're still one of the favorites to win the game.
Right.
You don't need Antonio Brown to win the Super Bowl if you're the New England Patriots.
Nope. Ben Roethlisberger's out.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about the Pittsburgh Steelers for, you know, you got Kansas City that's still a threat. I mean,
he helps, but you don't need him.
You don't need him.
You don't need him?
Nope.
Not if you're the Patriots.
Don't need him.
That's reason number three. And then reason number four is the story that came out last night about the text messages that he sent to one of his accusers of a sexual harassment that included his friends as part of the group text.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first read the text messages, I was on the fence. Is this threatening or is this not threatening? He never threatened to hurt her. He never threatened to send his boys after her. He never said, like, so I was a little bit on the fence. Like, I don't know. Like, I was a part of me thinks that's not really threatening. But then, you know, speaking to you, and I kind of buy in with what you're saying now. Here's a woman, right, with children, and Antonio Brown is putting out a text message in a group, people she doesn't know, and showing pictures of her kids and saying, check into her and look into this and look into that. I could now see that that could be seen as threatening. You're a woman trying to protect your children, and you've got some guy with a lot of money, okay, and probably power with that money, and a posse, and how he's now including all these people in a text message group. And, yeah, I could buy that now. I could buy how somebody – now, I don't know if everybody would see it that way.
Yeah.
But I will bend, and I will say you're right, that it could be seen as threatening.
To me, it's because – He asked somebody in the group text to look into her. Okay, that's number one. And number two, I mean, I've accused somebody of something, okay? And that person whom I have accused of that sends me a picture of my kids. Oh, you better believe I'm taking that as a threat. You bet. That's a threat.
You putting my picture of my children in there?
What are you saying, man? What does this have to do with my kids? Why are you putting a picture of my kids on this text? And you know what? I'll credit her. I credit her for not being intimidated by that. She went right to her lawyer. She gave that text message right to her lawyer, and her lawyer went right to the NFL and basically said, what the hell are you going to do about this? Your guy is texting my client after it came out that she is accusing him of this.
There's no way the Patriots knew about these text messages. And that's where they may get out from under the $9 million that they apparently would owe him.
Yeah, and that's becomes the big fight now. And I'm just going to read this because we're late for a break here. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN has a league source telling him that Antonio Brown likely forfeits the $9 million signing bonus because of a contract clause that calls for players to disclose situations preventing availability. Him not disclosing this civil lawsuit for sexual assault is a situation that prevents availability. And if he didn't disclose that, this league source is telling Jeremy Fowler, that might be the leg the Patriots have to stand on to get out of paying Antonio Brown $9 million.
Yeah. If they were not aware of this, they can easily make the argument, in my opinion, that they shouldn't have to pay him the bonus.
For years, if not decades, it's the label we've all heard about ASU, sleeping giant. Could this be the season the giant awakes? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Let's turn things back over to Sarah Cazell, who apparently has added a Twitter poll today as well.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
I'm assuming that's why you held up the two fingers, not because you need a couple of minutes to gather yourself,
no,
but because there's a second poll.
Because there are two polls. I'm actually glad that you clarified that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. The first poll, you guys, the original poll from 2:30, the Pats, of course, announcing this afternoon that they have cut Antonio Brown. So what happens next for him? We've got four options. The first being, we think he signs with an NFL team soon. The second second being he sits out for this season but is back in the NFL in 2020. Maybe he joins the XFL this coming February, or his playing days are done. What do you think?
It's crazy. I wouldn't rule out the XFL thing, but yeah. I think he'll be back in the NFL in 2020. Mm-hmm. I wish it were option four. I wish this meant he were done. But I think it's either he's in the XFL or he's playing for an NFL team next year.
I don't
year.
Think he plays for the XFL.
You don't think so?
No, I think he sits it out and counts on that one team that is desperate for a dominant wide receiver, and he signs with them. I'll tell you what, though. Nobody's giving him big dollars.
Yeah.
I will say that. Yeah. Like, his contract next year will be I'll sign you to a deal where you can prove yourself character-wise, for a year. He's not getting $20 million.
You are correct on that one, sir. What's the odds right now? What are the numbers so far?
38% say that he will sit out this year, be back in 2020, agreeing with you two. 31% think his playing days are done. 17% see him going to the XFL. Only 14% think he will be in the NFL this season.
Okay, what's the second question that you added?
Gambo, you posed this question earlier in the show, which is typically where our secondary polls come from. You were talking about Gardner Minshew. Is he the new Nick Foles, or is he the new Jeremy Lin? So I put that out there.
I like that one.
Is he Nick Foles? Is he Jeremy Lin?
He's Jeremy Lin.
What do you think, Gambo?
I'm voting for Jeremy Lin. He's Jeremy Lin. This will not last.
God, I don't know. My guess is that it's probably not going to last.
Okay.
That's my guess. He's a sixth round pick. Could he be the next Tom Brady? Tom Brady, sixth round pick. Gardner Minshew was sixth round pick.
Far more likely he's the next Jeremy Lin.
I can't get over? I'm going to be honest with you. And this, again, I'm being total stereotypical right here.
The mustache?
A guy like that doesn't look like he should be a star quarterback in the NFL.
Why? You think he's goofy looking?
I just don't know. I mean, I know you. I don't know. I look at him and I'm like, that guy, you shouldn't be a star quarterback in the NFL.
Somebody said on Twitter he looks like an assistant manager at an AutoZone.
like there's no like answer. It's just you look at him and you're like, yeah, no.
All right, we have our guest on the line. So
okay,
what's the...
we'll speed this up then. Is he the next Jeremy Lin or the next Nick Foles? 58%. Voted for Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, yeah. All right, let's head on out to the phone lines. The Colter Automotive Group Sports Line. We were inspired to get our next guest on the show because he, it's called the Passion Bucket segment, right? And it's on the Pac-12 Network. Their analyst, Yogi Roth, joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Yogi, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for being flexible, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to chatting about the game.
Yeah, no problem. We were really hard when ASU made that hire of Herm Edwards. We laughed it off. We thought it was ridiculous. We thought Ray Anderson was just going good old boys network. I mean, Herm hadn't coached in college in almost 30 years, the NFL in almost 10 years. We did. I mean, we were at the forefront here locally of just ripping that hire. But Herm said, you know, there's room for everybody on the train, and we are on that train right now. He's done a fantastic job. What stands out to you about what Herm Edwards has done in such a short time at ASU?
A lot. You know, I think a lot more people were hopping on the train. I think I'd probably start there. I think intrinsically what I love and appreciate most is, and I talked about it on the Pac-12 networks this week, is that when anybody comes to meet with him, a player specifically, or someone on his staff, he always says they need to leave here with hope. And as a former athlete, a lot of times you meet with a coach, it's because you're not playing. You know, you're bummed. It ain't going well. And I think Herm, he's always said it, like, I look at the game like a player because he was one. Every coach says that because most coaches have played for the most part. But he lives it, man. And you walk around here, and I'm at the 50 right now at Sun Devil Stadium. And it's just light. You know, like, things are hard, and that's okay in terms of working and training and getting ready for a game, but it's never heavy. And I think when you look at that and you watch the team last week with two true freshman O-linemen and a true freshman quarterback, which no one in the country is doing that has that type of combination, you watch a team played so many freshmen a year ago, 28 redshirt or true freshmen this year, it's not that big of a deal in terms of it's the most intense thing in the history of planet Earth. And I believe that's all from him. You know, he sets that. He talked to us an hour ago about how he doesn't allow his coaches to coach scared, and he doesn't allow his players to play scared, and that's because of his tone. And I just believe that's unique in college football to live it, not just say it. And this guy's a star, man. Like, like, I think ASU has a steal. You know, you look at other programs around the country, and I think a lot of them would want to have someone like Herm Edwards and the structure that they've created here.
I think the thing that I underestimated the most about Herm Edwards is we're getting ready for ASU and Colorado tomorrow night on the Pac-12 Network. Yogi Roth joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I think the thing I underestimated the most was the star power, like that Herm Edwards is in my living room talking to me. Oh, and by the way, there's Marvin Lewis. And oh, by the way, there's Antonio Pierce. And oh, by the way, that, you know, I didn't know if 18-year-old kid would connect with the guy that he grew up to seeing on his TV telling him about football. I wasn't sure if that was going to work the way they thought it would. And clearly that is working very, very well for Herm and Marvin and Antonio, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's you know, generally, yes. But I think when you talk to him, you get that it's so much more. Like, he wasn't just an analyst on television. He was a great analyst on television. I mean, we just got done talking to him about the work he did at Cronkite School, you know, and he's going to, I think, teach some classes in the spring around storytelling. And you think about motivating young men, and I'm around this game and kids all the time. It's really, I think college football is 75% effort. And effort is generated by an aspiration to play and compete with the people next to you. And that's led by the voice, which is the position coach, coordinator, and of course the head coach. And he's masterful there. And then you really think about it. And, you know, I've been in TV for over 10 years now. And when you're doing this gig, you get to be around so many special leaders. So you get to cultivate, you know, your toolbox in so many different ways, not only from coaches, but executives, et cetera. And here was Herm Edwards, two-time NFL head coach, rock star personality, motivational speaker. Like, think of the rooms he was in. I mean, he was out, and I'm sure you guys have talked to him about it. I've talked to him about it a ton. And now he's putting it all together as an older guy who really is about making the game better versus advancing his own career, or just so caught up in the minutia of being a head coach, which a lot of guys are, because it's maybe the first time. I just think his poise and the way that he practices it every day. And there's real principles around it. It's not like kids are running amok. Like, there's a real big-time discipline here. But it's allowing the players to be themselves within that. And I think Kevin Mawai said it brilliantly in his Hall of Fame speech. And I think that the players are a reflection of Herm saying, hey, be you, but be you within the confines of this program. And that's a special thing.
Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network's our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. He's actually at Sun Devil Stadium right now. They'll have the game tomorrow on the Pac-12 Network, ASU versus Colorado. Let's talk about this game, because Herm earlier in the week talked about the dangers of this game. Just like last year, coming off a Michigan State win, that team lost four of their next five. How hard will ASU have to work to guard against what happened a year ago, coming off a big win against Michigan State?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to be an issue around, like, handling the hype. I think it's just a team that's still developing, and they have to handle a good opponent. Now, I think this is, you know, other than tonight, it's the best game in the Pac-12 this weekend in terms of competitive. And these teams are really evenly matched. And you reference LaVisca Chenault, what he did last year, four touchdowns. It's going to be fun to watch him. I think he's the best player in this conference. And I don't even think it's close. We're talking about, you know, non-quarterbacks. Like, Herbert clearly is an elite talent, but Visca's going to be top 15 pick. I mean, he's looks like an outside backer. You know, he runs like a gazelle, and he's as physically gifted as anybody in the Pac-12, let alone the country. So it won't be easy. I look at ASU, and they're going to have to protect better. They're going to have to run the football. You know, and I just think that that's a reality. You know, you look at them last week, you know, didn't get a touch until, I think, midway through the second quarter. And I get why. They only had 11 snaps in the first quarter, you know, first and foremost, just the way that the game was flowing. But even more so, you know, they're trying to figure it out on the O-line. So, finally, they're going to get the same offensive line 2 weeks in a row. You look at the freshmen that they have, a left tackle, right guard. They've got high ceilings. And I think with experience, they'll just gain – so gain productivity. So I think they should be able to run the ball. They're going to have to run up against a team that struggled running the football, the team that created a bunch of turnovers. So offensively, if it's me, I'm running the ball and I'm opening up a little bit with Jaden Daniels. I think you got to take some shots down the field in this ball game, just to stretch the defense, just to use your athletes and say that, hey, we're not afraid to do that. And I think that this is probably right on schedule with that type of methodology offensively. When you look at Jaden's first two games, getting into the system, what they had to do to beat Michigan State, which was shorten up the game, make it a quote-unquote NFL-type game and win it late. So now I think we'll see more and more of who they are because they're going up against an offense that's going to score. And yeah. Danny Gonzalez's defense is big time. I love the scheme. I love the personnel. But college football is about scoring. Teams do score. The game's built. Even you look at penalties and the way games are called for offenses to score, and they're going to have to score points because I think Colorado will.
Yogi, leave me with this. A lot of people may not know this about you, but you were roommates with Larry Fitzgerald in college. You played at the University of Pittsburgh with Larry. Is there any part of his success, his longevity, that surprises you, having known him from his college days?
Not really. You know, I mean, Andy Lee was my roommate, too, so I feel like I got the Cardinals covered here in town. But I don't know. I always go back to I'll never forget Larry's first game of his career. He's a freshman, and I was like, they give you, you know, every college does this, like somebody is your big brother, and I was Larry's. You know, basically, I teach him the offense and kind of show him around. That was exactly what my role was, and that's what I did, and basically just coached him up to take my job was pretty much exactly what they tasked me to do. And the first game in, and we put our warm-ups on, we go to meet our family, and we go to do interviews, et cetera, and he puts a suit on. And I walked over to him, and I was like, yo, dude, you don't have to put a suit on. You're good. And he looks at me and goes, nah, people are going to know exactly what I'm about from day one. And every post-game, and now it's not always just a suit or a three-piece suit. Like, he's always looking stylish. But the point being, when you think of Larry Fitzgerald, you think Hall of Famer, first ballot, but you also think of class. You think of the guy who's organized. He's somebody who's dramatically respectful. That's him. You know, so I'm not surprised by that. You know, I remember visiting him as a rookie, and every year when I get a game, we try to connect if our schedules align. I would like to easily catch up because we've stayed in touch over the years. And if you said, would he have played, what is this year, like 17?
So, yeah,
16,
17 years.
Something crazy like that. I probably wouldn't have said that. I don't know if he would have said that, to be quite honest. But
yeah.
He's everything that's right about the game, and I love everything he's doing. And I just hope they can get some more wins.
Yogi, we appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping by for a few minutes. Have a good call tomorrow night, and I hope we talk to you in the future.
Always, brother. Always. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Thanks, Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Juicy NFL matchups this weekend, including one that is being billed as the new version of Peyton versus Brady. Talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Week 3's got some good matchups, but there's one that stands above the rest. The Ravens and the Chiefs facing off at Arrowhead. Don Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, thinks we could be looking at the next Peyton versus Brady in the AFC.
And I think, you know, just as an NFL fan, as a fantasy owner, if you will, the NFL is in good hands with these young quarterbacks. And I think you're going to see two great quarterbacks in this game. You know, we might be seeing the next Brady Manning matchup, Ali Frazier, Magic Bird. You don't know, but the excitement of it, you know, leading off of your question, because all these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks that are coming out, they can extend plays. Now, right now, Mahomes is extending the plays, and he's, you know, last year had a lot of success doing it.
Wow.
Ali Frazier? Did he say Ali Frazier?
He did say Ali Frazier.
Wow.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
you understand there's a whole generation.
Kansas City is the only team in the regular season that beat Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson hasn't lost a game in a regular season.
Yeah.
Outside of an overtime game to Kansas City last year. That's it. That's it. What were you going to say about a generation?
Well, I was just going to say that there, for some people who never saw Ali or Frazier beyond what they saw in YouTube videos, or even Bird Magic for that matter.
Yeah.
Peyton versus Brady is their Ali Frazier. It is their Bird Magic. That's their home base when they think about the great rivalries in this league. I mean, Peyton Brady was tremendous. It was fantastic television for 15 years. Awesome. I don't know if this has a chance to be that. Maybe it could. We'll see. You know what? I want to see Lamar Jackson play like he has played these first two games over the course of a of a 16-game season
right.
before I start drawing up any comps to Peyton Manning and Tom Brady with him and Patrick
Mahomes.
You
know, here's the reality. Ali Frazier were both heavyweight champions. Tom Brady was a Super Bowl champion. Peyton Manning won two Super Bowls. You've got to... These guys have to be able to win Super Bowls.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be right now, but we have to look back on it in a few years, and these guys have to win Super Bowls. Because without that, that this whole Ali Frazier, Bird magic, it means nothing. It means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get beat by Tom Brady every year, and then somebody... Now, it does look like, you know, eventually Belichick and Brady are going to go away. And who's going to set themselves up to be the best in the AFC? Mahomes looks, Kansas City looks like they can be the team, but is Andy Reid going to step in a way like he usually does and screw things up in the playoffs? And, you know, the Ravens are a good football team with a good defense. I think Earl Thomas is going to have a big role in this football game for them to try to take away some of that great downfield player Mahomes. But, yeah, this has a chance to be, but tap the brakes a little bit because, you know, these guys, you've got to win Super Bowls in order to be categorized like Peyton and Brady and Ali and Frazier and Bird and Magic, and these guys haven't done that.
Yeah, if you're talking about young quarterbacks specifically in the AFC, all right, Patrick Mahomes, or forget older quarterbacks for a minute.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes obviously is a category unto himself, and I totally agree with what you're saying about the Super Bowls. By the way, that's what you're looking for.
These guys
for.
Are young, so they get time
sure.
to do it.
Sure, but what you're looking for is, are there going to be two great quarterbacks that you can count on their teams meeting every single year in the AFC playoffs, knowing that the winner of that is probably going to go to the Super Bowl, and the winner of that has a really good chance of winning the Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes can be that guy. Lamar Jackson, let's wait and see. I think Deshaun Watson might be in that category.
I love Deshaun Watson.
Had Andrew Luck not retired, I think he would have been in that category.
You got a lot of young quarterbacks. I mean, you've got to say. I mean, you do. You got a lot of... You got Gardner Minshew, the next Tom Brady, sixth-round pick. I'm teasing. But you do have a lot of first-round picks in there. You know, you do have, you know, Darnold, and you do have Josh Allen. So, you know, we'll see. It has the potential.
Yeah,
it has the potential to be a great matchup.
Yeah, join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live this Saturday from 9 to 11. The Chick-fil-A on 44th Street and Indian School in Arcadia. You're going to have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year. Tickets and other prizes. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. There are plenty of Cardinals fans that would love to have him. So how much has Steve Keim considered making a trade for Jalen Ramsey? He was asked about it today. You'll hear what he said next on the Burns and Gambo Show.